Wouldn't you like to hear the gospel? To think that God, His Son, not sparing in such a way that you scarce could take it in. I'm so thankful He died for those who take it for granted, even. Let's turn to Colossians 1. Thank you, Jeanette, for that hymn, Sherry. Look at Colossians 1, verses 20 through 22. As you know, Paul is writing to the church at Colossae and believers, all believers. He says concerning Christ that He made peace, having made peace through the blood of His cross by Him, by Jesus Christ, to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you. They were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. Reconcile, the word reconcile, that's what we're looking at, reconcile. The word means bring together. It means to bring together those that are separated. Two people, two parties are separated and divided, at odds, maybe even enemies of one another. Won't communicate, won't talk. Something has divided them. And to reconcile means to bring them together. Bring them together again. So if someone is reconciled, they're brought together. That's what reconcile means. Everyone in here has heard this term. Many times when couples get divorced, they use this term, irreconcilable differences. And what they mean by that, what they're saying is that neither party will admit to the blame. Neither party is willing to change. Neither party will admit to wrong. Neither one will agree with the other. And they're not willing to forgive, and they will not get back together. That's what that means. Irreconcilable differences. That's what you say when you can't think of any other reason. Reconcile. All right, this passage, these scriptures, sometimes something really gets a hold of you, and this got a hold of me, and I hope it will again this morning, and it will to you. This passage, this truth, is not only the key to salvation, salvation of our soul. It's also the key to the salvation of our church, of our friendships, of our marriages. Reconciliation. What is it? There's only one thing that will truly reconcile, bring two together. One thing. And in case something happens, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. It's Jesus Christ. One thing. Only thing that will bring us together. Only thing, only one who will bring us to God. From whom we're separated. And the only thing that will hold this congregation together, the only thing that will hold friendships together, the only thing, the only one who will hold marriages together, Jesus Christ. And Him crucified. I hope we can see this. May the Lord help. We need to be reconciled, number one, to God, and secondly, to one another. We need to be reconciled to God. And there's one way, as it says here in verse 20, that Jesus Christ made peace, that is, with God, through the blood of His cross, by Jesus Christ to reconcile all things unto Himself, whether in earth or in heaven. Everything by Him. And so, therefore, for Him, for His glory. As I said, the word reconcile means to bring together those that are separated. And verse 21 says, you. And you. Who's he talking to? Well, this is written to the church, to believers. But everybody is like that. You. This is to everybody. You. Either were or are. Perhaps someone in here right now is still an enemy. Whether we are, we were. Enemy. Look at it. Verse 21. Alienated. That means cut off, separated, on the outside. Enemies. In your mind by wicked works. But now, yet now, He reconciled. Brought you back to God. Now, Romans 8 says this, the carnal mind is enmity against God. The natural mind, the natural person, every human being born, is born an enemy of God. That's what Romans 8 verse 7 said. And all of God's people, whom He hath reconciled, know it so. They know. David said, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. Again, Brother Coffey preached this last Sunday. Then, oh, wretched man that I am. Every single child of God whom God Almighty saves. That's the first thing He reveals to us. We're far off without Christ, without God, without hope, alienated, rebels against God. That's the first thing. Enemy. We're born rebels against God. There has been a universal conspiracy throughout the ages to disprove God. Human beings want, since men don't want a God to reign over them, to rule over them. An owner, a ruler, a judge want to be in charge of their own destiny. And believe me, you don't want that. But men think they do. Don't want anyone to own them, want to be their own man. And believe me, you don't want that. And yet, so there's been a universal conspiracy by man to disprove there's a Creator. And it's ongoing today, isn't it? We were in Barnes & Noble yesterday looking for something, a cookbook or something. And I looked down and there's a book. The title of it was, God is Not Great. That's the title of it. And the caption was, how religion has poisoned the minds of all people. And it would probably be a bestseller. You know it will, won't you? There's a universal conspiracy. Man hates God. When we say that, people, only those that have been reconciled know it so, don't you? Unless you've been reconciled, you don't know that. You don't believe that. Our Lord said this, though. He said, I have nourished, in Isaiah 1, I have nourished and brought up children that have rebelled against me. Every single one of God's people, not just the people of the world, but every single one of God's people are prodigal sons until He brings them home. Rebellious. He said in chapter 45 of Isaiah, verse 5, He said, I've girded you, though you have not known me. He said, the ox knows his owner, the ass knows his master crib, but my people don't know, and they don't even consider. Romans 1 says that the things of God are clearly seen, that men are without excuse, that God just gives and gives and gives and gives rain and gives food, and they're eating the food He gives and breathing the breath that He gives, and they don't give Him any thanks. To the contrary, they worship the creature more than the Creator. Not thankful? Don't give Him a thought? God is not in their thoughts? Do not like to retain God in their knowledge. Professing themselves to be wise, and they become utter fools. Why? They say there's no God. And boy, it's a fool to rebel against your Creator, isn't it? What an ungrateful wretch to not be thankful to the one who does so much for you. And that was me. And you. Wasn't it? That's what you said, Barb, to me one time, Petra. You said to me, Romans 1, I said, that was me. Well, that was me. Wasn't it you? Somebody says, I don't hate God. Well, why is it so hard to worship? Why do people find it such a hard thing? Why does it feel like a chore to come in the house of God and just worship? Thank God. 1 hour. Why is it like pulling teeth? That's this enmity. Why are people not thankful? Why do people get mad when you start talking about God's sovereignty? When you talk about God reigning and ruling and doing what He will with whom He will. God choosing whom He will. Why do people get mad at that? That's God. Because they hate God. Why is anybody proud? Pride is to hate God. You know, pride is to hate God. Why would anybody be proud of something that somebody else gave you? How could they? Except to want to take credit for that. And the only way you can is to get rid of Him. The natural man hates God. Why do people get angry at God's providence? Why is this happening to me? Why don't I have that? Why do they have that and I don't have that? That's getting mad at God. That's saying, I deserve that. He didn't deserve that. Why didn't He give me what I deserve? Ooh, we don't want what we deserve. But that's the carnal mind. That's man. And you. And you. Right? How many years did we go? Every one of us, beginning with me. How many years did we go without giving God a thought? Or giving Him any thanks? How many years? How long did we hear about this Christ crucified and didn't care? How long? And to ignore someone or something is to want it not to exist. To don't care about that part. Want them dead. Or how many years? And I know there's some listening right now who have really no interest in it. We need to reconcile. We need to reconcile. God's not the enemy. God is not the enemy. He never has been. Never will. Now, one of the preachers, Brother Bruce Crabtree, did say this, and this is so striking. He said, if God be for us, we don't need another friend. Who can be against us? God be for us. But if He's against us. Now, if we don't love His Son, if we don't care for His Son, that's God's against us. And if He's against us, it doesn't matter who's for you. He's the worst enemy we'll ever have. But God's not the enemy of man. And Jeremiah, you read Jeremiah for yourself, you'll read all the way through, especially the first 3 or 4 chapters. He said, what fault do you find in me? God's saying, what have I done to you? to cause you to rebel against me. Done nothing but good. Feed you and clothe you. See, this is why Christ being crucified, we should scarce be able to take it in. This is the only thing reconciled. Now, as I said, every one of God's children are prodigals. Some in here right now have prodigal sons and daughters. And what they've done is, like the prodigal, demand from their parents things. Take, take, take. Despise their rule and their authority. Want out on their own. And that parent may even give them something that they don't deserve. And they take it and they run as fast as they can to get away from that evil father and mother that I have. That was me. Literally. And all of us spiritually. Because we don't deserve anything. Our Heavenly Father is nothing but kind to us. And like the prodigal. And now, you parents who have children like that right now, you have tried, haven't you, to reconcile them. You have tried everything you know to do to bring them back to yourself. You would lay down your life for them, wouldn't you? If it would reconcile them to yourself, you would do anything. They don't deserve it. But you love them. And this is exactly what God did for us, His people. Exactly. And you know how He did it, Kelly? Killed His Son. The only one worth living, to kill Him. To bring us to Him. To make them. This is not just a doctrine. This is an incomprehensible love and mercy and grace. It's incomprehensible. There ain't a human being worth dying for. You might die for a good man, Scripture says. Even for a righteous man. But God commendeth His love toward us while we were yet sinners. The very ones that hung Him on the cross. He died for them. Does this sound like Ephesians 2? That's why Brother Luke, he read this. Ephesians 2 says, And you that were sometime disobedient, one time disobedient, dead in trespasses and sin. He walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, rebels against God, hating God. As you, wasn't it? Hating God. Had our conversation among them in times past, fulfilling all we thought about was me. Fulfilling the lust of my flesh, desires of my mind. I want mine, mine. This is the way we're born in it. Mine, mine, mine. Full of hate. Full of envy and jealousy. Our little children, we don't have to teach them to be selfish. They're born that way. We don't have to teach them to hate people. They're born that way. Gimme. Even their own siblings. Mine. When everything's given to them. Children of wrath, even as others. Just like others. But God. And you. Yet now hath He. Reconcile. Reconcile. Oh my. God in love, sovereign love. God doesn't love everybody. There's people in hell. He doesn't have to. Not obligated. I don't know why He loves anybody. Do you? But He does. But thank God He loves a people as the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea. We say, Sherry played that. We're going to sing it to close. How can it be that God should love a soul like that? How can it be? God in sovereign love and electing love chose. I don't understand why He, when Adam and Eve rebelled like they did against Him, I don't understand, except in light of His mercy of who He is, why He didn't just so you ungrateful and just snuff them out like that. Let alone, Jeanette, put up with billions of others just like that, born just because He's long-suffering, that's why. To us, we're His people. And how long did He put up with us like that? Huh? Prodigal. Like God in sovereign electing mercy. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. His compassions, they fail not, they're new every morning. By grace He is saved. Yes, you are. That's true. A doctrine? No, it's unbelievable. Unfathomable. Grace. Gift. Undeserved favor from God. Grace. Sought God in grace. Through His Spirit, through what I'm doing right now, what people call foolishness. But this is what God is. God uses these earthen vessels. I know why. I see why. That the excellency of the power might be of God, not of men. If God does bless us through such a babbling idiot, you'll know it's God that did it. That's why. Through an unlearned man, you'll know God did it. Nobody will get the credit for it but Him. That's why. I know that. But God uses this right here, this preaching, through an earthen vessel, to break these wild asses' colts, to bring them down, to bring that prodigal home. This is what He uses right here. This is the power of God and the wisdom of God, to bring that prodigal home. Like me. Sat in service after service after service after service until finally I was out on my own despising this. Couldn't wait to get out. But God. My salvation is but God. And you. But God. And you, if you, Brother Luke kept praying this, don't leave us to ourselves. Don't leave us to ourselves. If He does, and you, will perish. But God. That's how we ought to pray to Him, Tammy. I know He's a rebel. I know He's a rebel. He's like me. He's born for me. I know He is. But God. I've never thought of this scripture like this before. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him and them that hope in His mercy. I've always thought of that in a just strictly a personal way. That the Lord taketh pleasure in that man or that woman who fears Him and hopes in His mercy for them. But the Lord takes pleasure in them that hope in His mercy for others. Rahab, remember that? Remember when Rahab heard the Lord was going to come through, Joshua was going to come through and destroy them all? What did Rahab do? Save my father. Save my mother. Save my children. Save my brother and sister. Everybody first. And then to her and me. The Lord take it. So what did He do, Jeanette? What did He do? Save them all. And her. Lord, but God, I know we got, but God, You're rich in mercy. Please. I've seen it happen so many times. Well, how He does this, the first thing God does to reconcile us is to show us ourselves. As the message on the radio said, the first thing He does is show us that we need Him, that we're far off. That we're a rebel. That if God gave us, you know, like the prodigal. Well, the prodigal, finally, by God's mercy and grace, was out there. And He says He came to Himself. just came to himself. How? What? He came to see himself. He came to a realization of himself. He came to look at me. I've done this to myself. You know where he was? He was in the hog pen. Look at me. I thought I was something. Look where I've ended up. I did this. Not my father. I did this. Oh my. I've sinned against heaven and against my father. I wonder if he'd have mercy on me. That's the first step that God Almighty does to every single one of his children. Look at me. I love it when people get under conviction. It's such a rare thing. It's the first step. Begin to break that prodigal son, that wild ass's colt. God shows us who he is. Even the goodness of God leads us to repentance, especially. And shows us what we are. And then the final thing, the thing that brings us back to God. We say the straw that broke the camel's back. Well, this is the truth that breaks a sinner's heart. Christ crucified. Hanging on the cross. Bearing your blame. Substitute. Hanging on the cross. Your sin laid on him. Your hell put on him. He gives you credit for what he did, and he took the blame for what you did. That doesn't break you, nothing will. If that won't bring you back to God, repenting, thanking him, believing him, praising him, worshiping, that won't make you, nothing will. Nothing will. That's the only thing. I distinctly remember as a young man working on a railroad that this was the thing that this is boatman. I remember. The first words of I remember the first words reading, the first words of Christ hanging on the cross, when he hung there on that cross, the first words from his mouth, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they did." And that was like an arrow that pierced my heart. That was it. That was it. "Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's destroying himself. Forgive him." He made peace by the blood of his cross, the chastisement of our peace. Scripture says was laid on him. By his stripes we're healed. Some of you may have never heard this story. Back years ago when they had one-room schools, and especially in Appalachia, it was a one-room schoolhouse in the mountains of eastern Kentucky. And there were different age children, you know, in one room. And this little school had a new teacher that came in. And when he came in, he knew that he'd have to make some rules or he'd have just chaos. So he told the class, he said, "We're going to have to set some rules." And he said, "I'm going to let you set the rule." And so they began to say, "No stealing, no cussing, no spitting on the floor, no this." He said, that's fine, that's good. He said, "And now you've got to have punishment. Rules are no good without consequences, without punishment." So somebody said, 10 stripes across the back with a rod for stealing. Bareback. The teacher said, "That's kind of severe, isn't it?" "Nope. No stealing. Ought not to steal. 10 stripes across the bareback. Anybody caught stealing?" Well, in that one-room school, there was a big strapping farm boy named Big Tom. Everybody called him Big Tom. Big strapping boy, worked the farm all his life, and everybody loved him. He was gentle, big gentle giant, little fella. He came up to the teacher one day. He said, "Teacher, somebody's stolen my lunch." And so the teacher took it in hand and to find out who did it. Come to find out, a little fella named Billy had taken Big Tom's lunch. One of the smallest fellas in the school. Poor. Always wore a big old coat to class. Well, they found out little Billy took Big Tom's lunch. So the teacher said in front of everybody, "You made the rules, and you made the punishment. So Billy, come up here and take your licking." He came up there. The teacher took a rod. He said, "Take your coat off." He said, "Don't make me take my coat off." He said, "Take your coat off. That's the rule. Cross the bare back." So he took it off. He didn't have any shirt on underneath. Poor. In rags. You see his bones. And so the teacher took that rod and drew it back, and a voice cried, "Wait! Is Big Tom." Big Tom said, "Teacher, can I take Billy's licking for him?" Teacher said, "Well, I guess." So Big Tom came up, pulled off his coat, the muscles rippling, and the teacher started beating him. Once, twice, 9 times. 10 times, and the rod broke across his back. And little Billy came running up and said, "Big Tom, I'll love you forever for taking my licking." God had laid on him the iniquity of us all, and he could bear it. And the rod broke. The rod of God's justice and wrath broke. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, and he bore it to Calvary's tree, John, and it's gone. Will you love him forever for that? How could you not? How could you not meet together and thank him? Thank you, Lord. How could you not? I hadn't seen it yet. The only thing reconcile us, bring us back to God. Our sins have separated us between our God. There's only one person that can bring us back. Jesus Christ. That atonement. That blood. We need reconciled to God, and we need reconciled to one another. We get at odds with one another, don't we? Over what? Anything and everything. Mostly things. Sad, isn't it? We're a pitiful lot, aren't we? Pitiful lot. I remember there's four of us siblings, you know, and we'd get in arguments and fights, and, you know, we would. And looking back, I see now is, you know, it's mostly my fault. Well, Danny and I split it. We just made life miserable for your mother. But we get in fights over the ridiculous things, childish things, all childish, but things didn't amount to nothing. Get our feelings hurt. We hadn't changed much. Hadn't changed much. We need reconciled to one another. And you know, there's only one thing that will do that. The same thing that reconciles us to God. Right, Pastor? The only thing that will reconcile us to God is seeing God didn't do to me what I deserve. He did it to Christ. And that's what will reconcile me to my brother or sister whom I think has offended me. I will think how could I give in? Look. I hadn't done to them. She hadn't done to me anything. That's the only thing. You know, and we're born, once again, we need reconcile. We're born loving self, and that's still a lot of that's still in us. That's why we get offended. You know what she said to me? You know what he said about me? Who? Me. Who are you? If you know, chief of sinners shouldn't get offended, should they? And the only thing that will make us peaceable and peacemakers and forgivable, forgiving and forbearing and long-suffering. It's the only thing. Are you listening to me? It's the only thing that will make us forgive our brother at all costs is seeing how he forgave us at such great cost. That's it. Nothing else will. The law won't do it. You need to forgive. Yes, we do, but that won't do it. That will. Look how he's forgiven them. The disciples came one time and said to him, Master, Peter said, if my brother offend me, sin against me, how oft shall I forgive him? Seven times? And the Lord said to him, No, I say unto thee, verily I say unto thee, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Why? Because that's how he forgives it. All day long, every day. And we haven't done to our brother, or they haven't done to us, a fraction of what we've done to our Lord. Not a fraction. And seeing Christ, this will reconcile us to one another. We've got to see ourselves. To reconcile to our brother, we've got to see ourselves for what we really are. Right? That only will make us esteem them better than ourselves. That's the only thing. And the only way we'll see ourselves is see Him. The only way we'll see ourselves for what we are is see, look at He's altogether lovely. I'm not anything like that. Look at Him. He's altogether merciful. I haven't been merciful. Look at Him, how He loves me. I don't love like that. Look at Him, a friend that's sticking closer than a brother when He should have left me a long time ago. I don't do that. Huh? There's only one thing. Look at how He's forgiven me. Died for me. And He says, you do the same. You lay down your life for your brother. Didn't it? That's not a request. He says it's a command. Why? We owe it to Him. Why should we forgive our brother? We owe it to Him. They're His children. They're not our enemy. They're His children. Are you with me? This was a revelation to me. We must forgive. Why? They're His children. We owe it to Him. Such great forgiveness to us. Besides, you know, we say things like this. Well, you know what he did to me? Do you know what you've done to him? We say things like this. I've never done that.
Not yet.
Not yet. Huh? There's a lot of time left. You say, and we say,
well, I would never do that.
Oh, I give you two words. If we ever think that, I would never do that. Simon Peter. Mm-hmm. And Peter, that's what converted him, wasn't it? That's what converted him. He reverted back to the cussing sailor that he was by nature, didn't he? Denied the Lord and denied everybody else. Got separated from his brother. Thought he was better than them when he was worse. He was worse. What brought him back, John? He was over there sitting cussing with the world, with his friend, and he looked
and Jesus Christ was looking at him.
He
And it broke his heart. And he wept bitterly.
And from then on, he thought, if to his brothers, if y'all won't let me back in, if you all will have mercy upon me, I'm less than a leader. I'm not fit. This is why Peter concluded his letter by saying this: it's the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. I know. Peter said, I know. He's put up with me all my life, even when I didn't put up with others, even when I exalted myself above my brethren. Greater love hath no man than him. This is the only thing that will reconcile us to one another. Nothing else will. Right? Right. In light of such mercy, you know, love, you know, I got to quit. I had a lot more to say, but the word reconcile also means this. It also means to bring to an agreement. To bring to an agreement. Okay? A mutual agreement. It's for us to agree with God. God doesn't change. He doesn't need to be brought to see our side. Oh, no, no. It's who's on the Lord's side. And you know what? We've got to take... here's what God has to do to us. He has to get... He has to reconcile us. He has to make us take sides with Him against ourselves. Against ourselves. He has to make us justify Him in condemning ourselves. He has to make us come to realize everything about me is wrong. Not was. Is. Everything I do, the Lord is well pleased for Jesus Christ's righteousness. He's the only one. There's none righteous. No, not one, Scripture said. But Jesus Christ. Everything about Him is right. Everything about me is wrong. And this is my whole problem with other people. It's my problem with God. It's my problem with others. It's me. I'm the problem. That's what each of us got to be. To see. And the only thing that will do that, look, that's how you're supposed to be. You're not. Did that hit home to anybody? We need reconciled to God. One thing will do it. Christ crucified. We need reconciled to one another. Not let anything or even people come between us. Why? We're one in Christ. The only thing that will do that is looking to Him. All right. May the Lord bless that. John, if you'll come. What was that number?